Quantity Radio.
Welcome back to Quantity Radio, where we talk about a quantity of things, everything from business, relationships, spirituality, you name it, I'm talking about it. And I'm your host, Shaquan, aka Big Quan, and we're back with another episode. We have a guest on the show today.
What's up with it?
Finally. finally. I've been supposed to have you on the show.
Last year.
Okay. I've been supposed to have you on the show last year. So you're finally on. 2023. Told you, big things coming. Big things coming. He's here. This is Mr. Rich Before 50, a.k.a. Chris.
Yeah.
How you feeling today?
I feel amazing. This was amazing drive. You know, the weather's pretty cool, so I was able to
bring out tell me how he pulled up though. Tell me how he pulled up in a fucking candy red.
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Talk about it.
Corvette, right? You can pull up top down, shades on. I mean, giving the whole bougie vibes. I love it. I really
wait
do.
A minute, bougie.
You bougie. You a little bougie. Don't lie. You a little bougie.
Wait a minute.
What? You not?
No, ma'am.
Yes, you is. You pulled up. Yeah, you pulled up. But it's good. It's good. I'm happy to have you on the show.
It's a blessing to be on the show.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The sun is shining. I feel good. Like, we've been having so much rain. Like, so much rain. And now the sun is, like, finally shining. And I just feel like when the sun shines on me, I just feel so, like, energized. Like, so productive. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just me.
Only shit I didn't do today was go to the gym. Because generally, you know, when it's an amazing day, you feel like, okay, I can go bust out.
Yeah, you like, you trying to be outside. Like, you trying to, you know what I'm saying? You
run about 20 miles. But it really is two.
Yeah, it makes you want to be active. Like, it makes you just want to get in that mode. Like, go work out, do some fitness stuff, or just be productive, whatever you're doing. Like, the sun gives you energy. So that's how we get that energy.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? That's a word, if you didn't know. But yeah, I'm happy to have you on. So we met at the Terry's event.
Yep.
Terry.
Shout out to Terry. I am Terry Griffin.
He got to come back on the show. Like, he gonna kill me for this week. I'm like, I'm supposed to be back on the show. But anyway, so he had a dope-ass event. Content is key, right? Mm-hmm. So we had the Content is Key event with, who was it, David Shands and a few other guest speakers. Yeah. His name keep coming up for me, though. David Shands. Like, I feel like something's going to happen with that. I don't want to, like, put it out there, or like, but it's in my thought process. Like,
you're just gonna have him on your show one day.
And you know, he got that studio down in Atlanta. I think it's in Atlanta, it's somewhere down in Georgia. And you know, he might have me like come up under his network or something. Like that. I don't know. Is it something? I feel like it's something with that name, though. Hey. I don't know. It's something. Something's coming big soon for sure.
And it was a name drop in this particular episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
I'm just like, okay, cool. I feel that. But we met there, and we made a connection,
for sure.
You know, exchanged the Instagrams and socials, and I'm like, okay, you cool. Like, okay, let me...
Appreciate it.
I got to have you on the show, so the energy is good. Like,
yeah, I love it.
This is our first time linking up outside of that event, and really, like, your energy is like, ah. Like, you come on like, ah. And but I like that.
I've been following your work, too, though. Like, I mean, you put out quality product. You know, for
thank
me,
you.
So like, you know, the guests you've had on, your level of communication, your eye contact, your show is dope. So I just put that out there for everybody that don't know. Y'all need to holler at Big Homie Quan.
Big Quan.
Holler at Big Homie Quan.
Thank you, though.
Don't play with it. Off top.
What's your sign? Because you have...
I'm a Libra.
Libra. Okay, I'm about to say, what are you something? You are giving me a lot of energy.
Just know it's always good and bad. You feel me?
It's a balance. It is a balance. And Libras...
we put our shades on for that one.
Uh-huh. Shout out to all the Libras out there, you know, weighing out the scale. Shout out to y'all.
For sure.
Troopers. Wait, so when exactly is your birthday? So it's October
3rd.
October 3rd. Yep. Okay. Shout out to all the October Libras. You know what I'm saying? It's cool. I'm a Cancer, by the way. But yeah, I got to look up that compatibility. We might have a good business relationship brewing up for us, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
We taking all business opportunities to the max. 2023 JV is joint venture. So I'm trying to be on helping as many people as possible, doing partnerships, collaborations, investing together, jumping on people's shows, helping them out, them helping me out, whatever. So yeah, that's what we do in 2023.
That's what we on. Yeah. I'm with it all the way. So tell everybody, like, what do you do?
So if I was to sum up what I do is, or my avatar, I'll just tell you who my personal ideal client is. Anybody that's not making $100,000 a day.
A day, not a month, not a week, but a day.
Anybody that's not making $100,000 a day. Those are my clients.
Okay.
Those are people that I would particularly want to target, because specifically, once you've gotten to something that's for a person like a hairstylist, or a person that's a barber or whatever, they're seeing numbers regularly, right? But they want to know how they can make it to that next level in their particular business. And so those are people I identify with mostly. People that are entrepreneurs that really want to make a certain dollar amount. But also people that just want to know how they can leverage other people or leverage other resources outside of what they already have access to. So like most people you hear throughout life, they'll tell you, you need to have multiple streams of income.
Right.
Those multiple streams of income don't have to be multiple avenues. They don't have to be like you're doing real estate and crypto and stock. They can literally be the same exact thing that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So even with you, like specifically, like if you say, okay, well, I got the best podcast, I've got the best YouTube, I've got the best communication skills, interviewing skills. How can we make multiple streams of income from that? So from different platforms to straight audio, to video,
to ebooks,
to coaching, to having guests on that are providing sound information that you can actually do with sponsorships, stuff like that. So all of those are multiple different streams of income within one same sector or industry that you enjoy doing.
See, that's what I want to get into, because it's like you said, when people think multiple streams of income, it's like, I got to have my hand in all these different hats and try to get everything done. It's like, it could get overwhelming and make somebody not want to do it. But if you can keep it within that same lane that you're interested in, that you are fluent in, everything is going to work out a little bit better for you than having to dab over here. So I definitely, that's why I'm trying to get the sponsorships. I'm trying to get the live sessions. I'm trying to get the audio side popping. I'm trying, like, all that up under one umbrella.
But then even also using technology too. Like, I mean, I know there's been a lot of people on social media talking about the ability of using artificial intelligence, right? But you already have the content. You pull down this entire script log that we got right here, right? If I provide any substance, meaning like some gems, or say we start talking about credit in this particular podcast, like you get the transcripts, you can have an artificial intelligence recreate that. Meaning like you could have training sessions off of this particular podcast. There's so many different levels to this business.
How to scale this shit. Like, you really got to use it to the best of your advantage.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's all about.
Those are my clients, though. Those are people I literally, like, people that can't think outside of what they're already doing and don't really understand. Because most people think, oh, well, Chris, he helps people with credit. That's one facet, right? I make connections, right? So I'm not an IT person, but I've got some resources for people that can do technology, right? I have cars that I've rented out to rappers before, right? So I make connections. You see what I'm saying? So and then like I go places in different countries and I make connections there too.
So you gotta be global.
Automatically.
The more connections, the better, for sure.
Mm.
So basically you helping people scale their businesses to, you know, higher places, get them to where they need to be at. Okay. So, and then you talking about you renting out cars to rappers and stuff. So how did you, we're going to get into that. So let's dabble back real quick to the content is key. So we met at that event and, I want to talk about why content creation is so important, because I was struggling with that at first with the content creation. I'm just like, okay, well, I'm going to make something. I'm going to post it here and there when I feel like it type of vibe. Yeah. But you can't do that. So when you're in I feel like the media feel it, and I'm in like a podcast, and I have to constantly post, and sometimes it could be a little overwhelming to like post all the time. So what I'm thinking of is like, okay, well, let me stack my posts. Like if I'm off, if I know I'm off Friday and Saturdays, I'm going to take one of those days or even half that day. So it won't take up all your day because we have lives outside of what we do.
Right.
You can stay at home and stack up all different type of content. I got a closet for the clothes, change my clothes, do each little session, switch up the hairstyle, you know, and just make some content and have like bulk, at least like 10 stacked up for minimum. Yeah. And then so the days where I am busy or I do need to take a break or 2 weeks away from content creation and posting, all I got to do is go in my little album. I have a special created album, a podcast album in my photos. Take it, post it. Take it, post it. I could be somewhere else. I could be out of town and chilling on vacation, but I'm still going to be able to post. And what I noticed is, personally, I noticed this from experience, that when you don't post, people forget about you.
That's facts. So there was somebody that just recently said, you need to be the center of attention.
Mm.
Not in a self-centered way, but like in a relevance way.
Right.
Meaning relevant. Because people have small attention spans. But I'm gonna get back to what you were just saying. So posting really can be easy if you have any segment that lasts longer than 30 minutes.
Mm.
Because As I was saying about people's attention span, people have small attention spans. So if we got this, say, for instance, this podcast, right? And it was a value to somebody or just little nuggets or little pieces that are clips to showing how you can have an effective podcast, right? Or how you can scale a business or whatever we talk about throughout the session. Mm. What's so dope about that is that you can cut that down so many different slices to the point to where this one exact session can be multiple days of content.
Mm-hmm.
And so typically they tell you you need to post like 3 times a day. I mean,
that's
It is. That's too much for me. But Instagram has made things easier now because they have a thing where you can actually schedule posts.
Yeah, they do.
Right. And so for everybody that's listening, if you don't know that you can, like most people had to use external apps like Planoly and all these other different apps that would post, like on a calendar type situation. Now you can actually, on Instagram, you can actually post all of your months out worth of content.
And schedule it.
Yeah,
like it will post it for you automatically. I think it was like, what was it on there? It was like Insist or something like that. You go, it was like a little sidebar you go on to, and then it takes you to like the little calendar where you can make
it. It's like advanced setting. It's like at the very, very bottom, when you're about to post a reel, it's like the very last option. You click that and, it'll give you an opportunity to change whatever date and go to the calendar and the time that you want to post it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so people should really take advantage of that because it's hard out there trying to post. Like if you are trying to post every single day and make content new every single day, you're going to get worn out. Yeah. You're going to get worn out. So it's like, how do you do that? So that's the method that you use to post your content.
So I just actually got that question from one of my fraternity brothers yesterday. So I have paid people to post for me, and I've paid some good money. Then I've paid somebody on Fiverr. Then I've also posted. Then I've had one of my kids post for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done various different methods of trying to relieve myself of actually having to post, right? But then sometimes there's those in the moment type of situation, like how I took the photo of you right before the session that will be posted, right?
Right.
And so I will actively post that. So to answer your question, I have used the schedule. I actually do that more often now where I'll plan out like what I want to do during those peak hours where somebody's up late and they're ready to buy, right? Mm-hmm. So I got some ebooks. I've got some a clothing line that I wear, you know, so people want to shop sometimes in the middle of the night. And so I have those planned out to post, you know, at like midnight when somebody might be scrolling.
Right. Like, scrolling up, can't sleep. I'm right here for you.
Yeah.
I'm right
if
here.
You want to buy something? I'm right here. Bap, bap, right in your face, you know? Yeah. And so those are planned. And then we also actually sell age corporations from one of my entities, right? We sell businesses. So if somebody listening to this podcast, you want to actually buy a business already with age on it, because typically, in order to go to a bank and get funding, they want you to have been established for more than a year or 2 years, right? We have those, Shelf Corps. which you can actually buy, and they're already built out. So those are some of my ads that I have. They're not really ads, but they're posts that are already scheduled. Mm-hmm. And so they come out early in the morning, so you see it first thing in the morning or late at night. So
okay.
Yeah. Those are the ones I actively have put in rotation. And then some of the more graphics and the more, you know, like captions and, you know, edited versions of videos, I've hired professionals to do them for me. So
okay, so you have them putting together your content and then you just post it off, or they're posting it for you.
Actually, I post it, but they've created the content for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Dope. That's what I'm like. I like the reels now, so you could just like save it as a draft, and they could already be like, you know, 10 reels lined up for you to post, mm-hmm. and you just go to it and make your caption already. Yep. Do what you fill out, whatever, tag whoever you need to tag, mm-hmm. and when it's time to post it, it's posted within 5 seconds. Yep. You're done. So that's a dope way to do it. So if you guys are content creators out there, use that option to schedule and plan your post ahead, and also stack up your content so you don't have to be worried about making content every single day, because it's going to make you not want to do it. Trust me. It's going to make you not want to do it. So that's the type of time I'm on right now. So let's dive into what you do and how this journey started. Like, so I seen all, you got the consulting agency and investor, you dabbling in real estate. Yeah. Like, you got a whole bunch of stuff going on. So, like, how did you even decide to even do all this? Like, I mean, what was the process for that? Like, was you working a regular 9-to-5 and you just like, this ain't cutting it? Or, I mean, what was that whole situation like?
Hey, I love that. So, what's so crazy is most people do not know, like, I've always been an entrepreneur. It just didn't have a title to it, right? My mom, I recorded my mom having a conversation with mom, and she was kind of pissed because
don't record me,
right? And so she used to tell me about stories when I was a little kid, right? And I don't know, for all of the parents, they know, like, they had to do those little popcorn drives or those expensive ass candy drives.
Yep,
where they be selling the candy. Yeah, can you buy my kids candy? Right. for whatever sports or whatever the situation that they're trying to fundraise for. Mm-hmm. And so we had a drive where we were selling candy, and the drive was over. And so what I did was I immediately went to our corner store and bought hella penny candy. So this was back in the day, you know, because they don't sell no penny candy no more. Like, that's like, that doesn't even exist. Like, they would have like the little Tootsie Rolls, but with the flavor kind, mm-hmm. the Chico sticks, but the smaller anyway. So I would go to the store and buy this candy after the drive was over, mm-hmm. and I would sell it at a higher rate. So if I paid a penny for it, I'm charging you 5 cents. Mm-hmm. And so I'm making a 4 cent profit. And I didn't know none of this. I'm like a little kid in elementary school doing this. Then we would have every Christmas when we went back to school, like in that January or February or whatever time we went back to school, after I've already played with my Christmas toys that I don't even want anymore, I'm selling them to kids at school.
Wow.
So it's the biggest thing where you talk about buy low and sell high. Mm-hmm. That term is used for like mostly real estate and stocks and stuff like that, right? But I didn't buy none of those Christmas gifts. My parents bought those.
Right, so you making the full profit off of that. Like, thanks, mom and dad. I play with half my time. Now I'm about to sell it to cousins, that time-bidden customer, whoever it may be.
Cousins, aunties, uncles, all of these people bought me these gifts for Christmas. I get my usage out of it, and then I sell it. Mm. Another thing my mom said is, she knew that I actively was saving money. Probably was the only person in the house that had over $1,000 saved. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And
as
so,
a child, like, how old were you around this time?
I was probably about 6.
Wow.
And my brother's 10 years older than me and lived in the same house. So he's in high school. He needs lunch money. She tells him
to go ask you.
To go ask me for the lunch money. But guess what? Wow. His lunch at that time probably was like $3 or so. Mm-hmm. And so I give him the $3 or $5, but I tell him I want $10 back. She's telling me the story, and so I'm sitting there listening, and I'm like, Ma, really? Like, but then she told me I couldn't charge my brother interest because I didn't know that was interest. Of course, you know, as a kid, you don't know that that's interest. But those principles I already had within me. Mm-hmm. Those entrepreneurial spirit understanding if I give you $3, I want $5 or $10 back. Mm-hmm. But not knowing what that's called.
Right. That's that interest. You charging that interest.
For sure.
Family and all.
And she was high. She was like, yeah, no, you're not going to charge your brother no extra. He going to give you whatever you get, you know, like $5. Yeah. If you borrow $5, he's going to give you $5 back. And so that's my beginning of things where I was an entrepreneur, doing things, buying things, selling things. Then I actually left Cleveland, Ohio. For everybody that don't know, I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm living in California since 2006.
Out Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah. Okay.
Midwest for sure.
Midwest.
Yeah. And it's rough.
Shout out what? Cavaliers?
Yeah, Cleveland Cavaliers.
Cavaliers fan?
For sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Shout like out. A real one. Like,
like no, the real like, kind. Yeah.
Brad Doherty,
Bron
Mark Price.
There, Bron gone.
Craig Elo. You know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because they be like, yeah, you just a LeBron fan.
No, I'm...
Before he existed.
This is what I do.
I thought Bobby Sura was going to do something for everybody to know Bobby Sura. She don't know who that is. It's a white dude that had a little bit of dribble skills. He was a guard, but I thought he was going to do something for Cavs.
He didn't.
No, no. Okay. Yeah, I don't even think he plays anymore, but anyway.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so moved to California after being in the military, getting married, and even when I was in the military, I always had a side hustle. Mm-hmm. So we was in Iraq, and I don't tell this story often. We was in Iraq for 12 months for when I was with the military, but then I spent 22 months in Iraq, but we was in Iraq. Yeah. And we got access to cell phones. Mm-hmm. And so when we got access to cell phones, I was selling cell phones to other troops.
Wow. Yeah. So it's just in you. It's already in you. Yeah. So you already having a side hustle, you in the military, you still making sure you know you getting your hustle on.
But the hood wasn't out of me either. Cause look, my job in the military was when people wanted advance on their paychecks, meaning they could come get cash from my job. Mm-hmm. And so I would identify those that shoot dice. Mm-hmm. And I'm an avid dice shooter. Well, I was an avid dice shooter. I don't mess around no more. Yeah, I'm telling you, I take your whole paycheck.
Bow. Okay, don't play with them.
No, don't play with it. Don't play.
Don't play with them.
Yeah, so they come get an advance on their paycheck, and they only supposed to really get maybe $350 off their paycheck. But I would, you know, make exceptions to the rule, especially if you shot dice with me.
Right, right.
I hit you for that $350. You're going to need more.
Mm-hmm. So you know how to keep me coming back. Like, I got a deal for you. You got something for me. I got something for you. Okay?
Yeah. But, yeah, I've always had some additional stream of income, some side hustle, and I had good money management skills. Mm-hmm. Didn't really buy a lot of frivolous things. My biggest kind of habit, these things right here.
Okay, yeah. I feel like every guy is like, I gotta have my shoes.
Stay
gotta be
with
right.
Some different kind of J's.
Okay, I see. Yeah, them is right. What J's is these ones?
These the ones.
These are ones.
Yeah, Jordan ones.
Any specific name for it? Got the little pattern going on in the back. And
I don't know about no specific name. I just like a lot of different Jordan ones.
How many pairs you got?
Probably 20 or so ones, but
21. But like all together, like shoes. Like how many pairs
60.
Of shoes you say you got?
60 pairs of Jordans.
Okay. Get on the hush. You'll see me bust out with the flavors.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Eric, I got the shoe. Okay. But you say you didn't really spend frivolously. You were prone to just like getting your money and like putting it up and saving it.
Yeah. So, and that come from I come from my dad. Like he used to say stuff like, one of his sayings was, it don't matter how much money you make. Mm-hmm. It matters how much you save. And so this is before I really understood investing, right? He would tell me that, you know, and he would reiterate, you know, about borrowing money or loaning money. You really shouldn't be borrowing. And he would tell me stuff like, you know, if you're going to loan somebody some money, don't expect it to get it back. Like he would say a whole bunch of stuff that was very wise.
Yeah.
But he didn't know much about investing, even though he did give me my first exposure to real estate. Mm-hmm. So when he said that, I used to save money. Like I would have, like I had piles of money saved up. Like I would use old Jordan shoe boxes and have tons of hundreds in the freaking box.
Yeah, were you saving it for any particular reason? No. Or just to just have
because
it,
he,
like...
Because he said you should save. Yeah. Like, it wasn't, like, to save to buy property. To save to invest, which I found out later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the military, I got introduced to a dude that was, like, 19, white dude. And he told me, he said, I bought this fourplex. Mm-hmm. So, when he said he bought that fourplex, I'm like... Like you bought an apartment?
Like you, right, like, what you mean? Like, why, you bought like, the whole...
Yeah, the whole thing? Like, what you... Like, not just the one that we... Like, I live in one... I'm living in a fourplex renting, and I'm married at the time. So, I'm like... Like you bought one of these, like, right?
19.
Yeah. And I felt some type of way because I'm older than this guy at mm-hmm. the time. And I'm thinking, like, well, how does he have the ability to buy something like this? Like, I didn't know what it costed, but I felt like it costed a whole bunch of money. Like,
right.
How do you get access to buy something like this? And so, make a long story short, it made me open my eyes to say that whatever I have now, that doesn't have to be like what I have tomorrow or mm-hmm. years from now, right? Because if he can do it, why? Like,
you know, I'm sure you can do it.
This dude. Right?
Like, hold on.
Like, dude, he hella skinny. Mm-hmm. I could beat him up.
Like, I can do this too.
I can do that. You know what I'm saying? He bought a fourplex. I definitely could buy a fourplex.
Right.
So, I went to the drawing board and I said, at some point, I'm going to own real estate. And so I didn't really have any conversations with my mom or my dad about buying real estate because my dad had died like that following year.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Oh no, this is, you have to be sorry, man. He lived a pretty long life, man. My dad, okay. he was pretty old. Yeah, he was pretty old.
I'm
my dad,
not, shout out to Pops.
He was pretty
shout
old.
Shout out to Pops.
Yeah. So yeah, he had owned real estate, but he didn't tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had owned real estate, but she didn't tell me about it. The only thing I saw was them having like headaches or being like stressed out about tenants tearing up the property
mm-hmm.
and having to like hunt somebody down for rent.
Exactly. Rent lay. It's like basically all you saw was the stress part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, maybe they didn't want to tell you about that because, you know, they didn't want to put that stress on you maybe or, right. you know, but they probably had to figure out how to properly manage the properties and the tenants and right. floors be yeah. easier flow for them.
As opposed to paying somebody to property manage.
Mm.
That was the gem that they didn't have. That right. was the missing link that they didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into real estate, I said, I'm going to take a totally different approach.
Right.
I was buying properties, fixing them up and selling them. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to deal with the stresses that my parents deal with.
Mm-hmm. So that's like kind of like a wholesale real estate?
It's called fix and flips.
Fix and flips. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So you buy a property, you see a property, it's whether it's distressed or it's under market, you buy it, low cost, then you fix it up, and you sell it for a higher cost. Same concept I learned earlier on, buy low, sell high. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I bought some properties, spent about $100,000 in 2016.
Okay.
That's when I finally quit my like 9-to-5.
Mm. Just decided to go full throttle with the real estate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't know Can I cuss?
Yes, yes, yes. You can cuss. We cuss on this show. Shit.
I ain't know. I jumped off the porch.
Yeah.
Head first.
And because you had that faith though in it though. You really
It was a combination of support
mm-hmm.
that I got from my wife. She was like, you know, you've been fired before. And I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, so you deciding that you're gonna do this on your own. I got your back.
Okay.
Yep.
That's awesome, though, to have that support, too. Because, you know, like, whatever happens, I got you.
You've been in the house. I see ain't shit done.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm at the corner parked. He backs into the driveway, like, midday.
Mm.
Like, I'm, dude, like, look.
What do you expect to get done?
Wait a minute. You showed up at noon.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, I'm at the corner. I see him back in. He eating a double cheeseburger sitting in the driveway. And I'm looking at him like, I pulls up. I walk up to the car.
Spooked.
Yeah, spooked the shit out of him. I'm like, hey, so let's walk in here and I'm going to see, you know, because you said the plumbing's done. You said you got the stuff ready for the HVAC and this, that, and the third for the heating and air conditioning for everybody that don't know what HVAC is.
Yeah.
Right. So I walk into the house. Now, mind you, I'd already been in the house. Mm. So I'm looking at the stuff. And I'm like, well, why is this why is this pipe just laying on the wall? Right. Like, you don't have no plumbing done. And then why is this air conditioning unit still in the box? Mm-hmm. I done gave you $7,000. Wow. So, make a long story short, he runs off on the plug. He don't finish the work. He don't give me none of my money back. And then I had to hire another guy, right? Now, mind you, all of this, I'm literally trying to pay people to do what they say they can do.
Right. And you paying them beforehand.
Yes. See, which is a big no-no for
big mistake.
Him, for anybody. Listen, pay in small segments. Maybe if you're paying for materials, you pay for the materials and then you pay them as they've completed stuff.
Right.
So you never want to pay a person all of the money up front.
That's a,
and some of these contractors be asked for half of the total amount of money for the job.
So don't do that either.
I wouldn't suggest that.
Okay.
If anything, just enough to get started. Mm-hmm. So they can pay if they got employees, or they can pay their employees, because you got to look at what type of quality they're doing. Because if you've been and gave them half of the money for the job, and they don't do nothing, or they do it wrong, like, you been gave them the money, how you gonna get it back?
Hey, you can't get it back if they run off on you. I mean, that's just what it is.
Another cool thing, another gem, is if you have the ability to pay a contractor via credit card. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit about credit while I'm here. I mean, I can
share with your guests. We're definitely gonna dive into credit, because that's on the menu.
It's on the list.
That's on the menu for me, personally.
Yeah, so credit cards give you a set of protection that if you bought something with a credit card and it's not what you expected, mm-hmm. whether it's a service, good, or product.
It's like an insurance.
It's an insurance. You literally call your credit card company and say, hey, I didn't get what I expected. It's not what I paid for. Not what, you know, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. Like, I paid them to put plumbing in here, and they didn't put no plumbing in here, so I need a refund, right? Yeah. As opposed to paying cash, you paying the contractor cash, there's no way you can get that back. You
can't validate that, yeah.
Nah, you can't get that back.
Right. So even still do that, even if you really going through like a company, because I feel like you're going through like a company and some like a discrepancy pops up, you can always go back to them and have them redo it, or, you know, it's more professional, legally binding when you do it with a actual company and not just somebody that you know, little cousin TT know, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You typically, you pay for... Typically, you pay for what you're going to get, right? Mm. So, you got either it's going to cost, they're going to be fast, or it's not going to be good quality, right? You can't get all three. Like most, sometimes you can, but it's like I said, it's not going to be cheap. If you want good quality and you want the job done in a fast time frame.
Yeah.
You're going to spend some bread. You're
going to spend some money. Yeah. That reminded me of this episode real quick of the Bernie Mac show. And he was getting like the something remodeled. He was like, if you want it good and fast, it ain't going to be cheap.
Yeah.
If you want it cheap, then it ain't going to be good.
Right.
If you want it, you got to.
Yes.
You got to check off all of them. You can't have all of them. So pick and choose which one you want.
Exactly. In most cases, you'll get two. Yeah.
It's going to be some money behind that.
For sure. So. Yep. And so that's what you should do in terms of looking for a contractor for anybody that even when they want to do stuff at their own house, or even a place that you're thinking about buying to rent out or buying to flip or whatever. You want to definitely do your fair share of research, but just understand that if just because it's the cheapest, it's not going to be, it might not be the best, right?
You want the best so you can get the most out of it.
Yeah.
So then
the best way to to evaluate a contractor is to go to a job site as they're currently doing it and see how they work.
Check them out.
Yeah.
Always.
And if they skeptical about, oh, no, the owner probably. Nah, fam.
This ain't for me.
Nah, fam.
I'm going to go head on.
Yeah, I'm going to go holler at the next person.
Yeah, because it should never be that type of energy. Like, okay, mm-hmm. cool, pull up. It's good. Like, you know, I want you to see what you going to be getting.
Yeah, or previous customers. And then you go to the previous customer's house, or if they allow you to come to that, if it's a apartment or a house or whatever, the work that they did. Yeah, let me see. I'm trying to get baseboards. I want to see how they, you know, how they put these baseboards in.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm. So I used to have like a thing with wholesale real estate. I never, I think I was just too scared. Like, I learned, I took courses and everything from Tony the Closer. So I was on his lives. I'm on the YouTubes. I'm writing everything down, notebook full of stuff, you know. And then it got down to me doing the cold calling and doing, I'm just like, I don't know. I froze up because I'm like, I'm not. I was just like, okay, I want to do this. And I'm like, I want to make sure my speech is correct. I want them to believe me. I don't believe me right now. So that kind of held me back, because I want them to feel confident and having that conversation with me. So I'm getting the list and I'm doing the cold calling. I'm going on here on the little software he gave us. And it was when it was time to call, everything was just like, oh my God, I had all the properties lined up and distress units and all the foreclosures and things like that and multi-units. I'm just like, bro. Why did I stop? And I'm like, I always tell myself I would get back to that, because that's something that was in my brain to do. Like, I want to do some wholesale real estate, because it's like the easiest thing. Like, I'm the middleman, basically. I'm getting you in under contract with somebody. I'm making some bread off of it. I'm getting you out of there or whatever you need to do, so you ain't got to, you know, pay much. And, you know,
you're providing the solution. Most wholesalers are providing a solution. And truth be told, that's a form of real estate where you don't actually have to own the real estate. You see what I'm saying?
So you don't need no license.
You don't. I mean, you have less risk. Mm-hmm. Like when you're wholesaling, you have less risk, and you can actually make some really nice cash, right?
Yeah.
The difference between wholesaling and not fix and flipping. The difference between wholesaling and I'll give the difference between wholesaling and fix and flip. Wholesaling, you have a property as it stands. You ain't got to do no work to it. It ain't even your property. You just get it under contract. You get the person that's one trying to sell it. Then you got a person that's trying to buy it. Mm-hmm. And you can capture a difference between, you know, $5, $10, $20, $30,000, depending on how much value is baked into this particular deal. You grab it. The only thing is the hurdles of getting past all of the no's.
So that's like the only thing.
Yeah, when you're trying to sell something, that's just like, if I say right now, everybody that listen to this, go to my website and buy this shirt.
Buy the shirt, right? By the way.
By the shirt, yep. So everybody, if I'm actively on the phone with people trying to get them to buy the shirt, our fear is somebody's going to tell me no.
Yeah.
But once I've gotten 20 no's, I'm bound to get a yes.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
It's going to come.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. I done got past all of those no's. So wholesaling can be cool, and it's less work than what I was doing as a fix and flipper. I bought the property. I had to worry about the taxes. I had to worry about, like, neighbors. I had to worry about the county permits, all of these various different things.
A whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And I had a property that I had to hold until it was completed. Mm-hmm. As a wholesaler, they could have took a person that wanted to get rid of the property as it stands, whether it was fixed or not, or damaged or distressed, and just find a buyer that's going to buy it. Mm-hmm. That would have been like a person like me that was going to fix it up.
But yeah, like, don't worry about it. I'll take this off your hands. Don't put you so much into the mix. It's like, I'm just here you go. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Like, y'all do what y'all going
to
do with
whatever
that.
Whatever y'all want to do with it. Yeah. That's up to y'all.
I got my money. I'm out.
I'm out of here. Yeah. And you could do that multiple times and stack up. Mm-hmm. But the end game for anybody that wants to be in real estate should be to be able to have checks while you sleep.
Exactly.
Because wholesaling... I mean, you still got to actively do things. Mm-hmm. Fix and flip, you got to actively do things. But when you buy a building like this, that we're in, right? Mm-hmm. And people got to keep these lights on.
Exactly.
People got to run their business as a wonderful podcast, Quantity Radio. You feel me? They're going to be paying you while you sleep.
Exactly. You earning money from all these units in your sleep. Because you done bought this, and they just paying you out for what you just bought.
Yep.
To keep that money coming
in. That's ideal for anybody that want to get in real estate. Mm. That's passive income.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I'm going to get to that. I want to do... You going to help me?
It's good.
I might help.
It's good. And for everybody, because everybody should have... Everybody should have real estate in their portfolio. Mm-hmm. Everybody. I don't care if you want to be in real estate. If you plan on either A... building wealth, B, having children, or C, just wanting to get some money for not doing anything.
Yes. and that's like, what everybody want to do that. So this should be on everybody's portfolio, like you said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm gonna need some help with that. Like I said, I did the little Tony cleanser and had a little software. And I, oh, what was it? It was a something stream something. I forgot what it was. Stream, not StreamYard. It was something I was going through to find the properties and everything like that. Had to pay. I did everything.
Prop stream. Yeah.
I knew something with stream.
StreamYard is for the
podcast. See, I'm all over here.
You gave them a gem. They might have not known that. Somebody trying to start their podcast.
Look, StreamYard. Get where y'all can virtually connect and do y'all interviews. StreamYard.
Off top.
But yeah, prop stream to get the properties and everything like that. And I had all of it hooked up. I just was disappointed in myself when it came time to, it was like that fear of talking to people. That's why I had to work on myself a little bit and work on me releasing the blockages that I had from myself from, you know, speaking up. Mm-hmm. So, and I've worked on that, so I'm all the way together. So I should be able to do that, right?
I don't know.
I believe in you. I believe in you.
But I believe
it. I got to see it to believe it. Let's do it. You ready? So, yeah. Okay, so we talked about that. So now I want to switch lanes and get into credit.
Okay.
Let's talk about credit real quick. Okay, so let's talk about Black people and credit real quick. Because it's a thing, like, growing up, what I always heard and heard from other people in the family, people that's not family, you know, just Black people as a collective, it's like, don't get into credit. Like, don't get no credit cards.
Right.
That's debt. You don't want to only use it for emergencies or if you really have to, if you absolutely broke and you need groceries or if you need gas, like, use it for that. We were never properly taught how to leverage credit to better ourselves.
Right.
So, even coming from that history, it's like, it was kind of scary for certain people to get into credit. It's like, oh God, I don't want to owe no money. Or it's like, you're not taught how to spend wisely, how to use it wisely, so you won't get into debt.
Got you.
So let's talk about Black people and credit with that.
So we have to understand that it's not really just the credit that creates the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because some people have trauma with credit because of what they've been told. Parents, oh no, you only use that for emergency, da da da. So you like kind of like traumatized, like, oh no, I don't want to do nothing with credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but really, what the bigger root of the issue is budgetary skills. So, for everybody that's listening, I didn't even tell my Instagram. It's rich_before_50_. But if you have and you know you frivolously spend, you have issues with having more bills than you have dollars, right? Then you could DM me the word budget, and I'll right now, as you're watching this podcast, it will literally send you a worksheet so you can help yourself out with a budget.
Okay.
So
I heard it.
Right. Just DM me the word budget. It'll send you a budget instantly through automation, right? Budget is the first step for anybody that has these traumas.
Mm-hmm.
Budgeting our dollars from, if you can budget what you currently have coming in and understand assets, liabilities, you can understand needs and wants.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two major differences.
Yes.
Like, we need water,
shelter. The lights, all that together.
Right? We don't need Louis Vuitton. We don't need Air Jordans. We don't need, you know, we might feel like we need it, but... Mm-hmm. These are things that are wants, right? So when you understand needs and wants and the difference, then those things will help you out in terms of whatever type of financial goals you may have throughout in your endeavors, right? So that's what we have to deal with on the surface for our community. Mm-hmm. That's like the foundation.
We get that mixed up with the needs and wants because you over here having Louis Vuitton, but you still staying in a studio apartment with a 1996 Volkswagen.
Talk about
it. What are you doing? It's backwards. Let's get
if you've got order. If you've got $30,000 worth of name brand materials in your house, but you don't even own the house that all of these materials are in, yes, we have a deeper conversation that we need to be having.
Exactly.
Right? But that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because I'm not here to tell nobody how they should live their life, but I believe wholeheartedly we all want to achieve certain things, especially when we see other people with other things, right? Yeah. So if you see somebody that's driving the Corvette, that doesn't necessarily mean you need to go put yourself at a disadvantage or have your family like needing things because you had a want.
Corvette, like,
because
you know?
You had a want, right? Mm-hmm. So how I help clients, how I help people, and how I coach people is to talk about mindset, right? So budget is the very first piece, right? The secondary piece is why we have not been taught how to effectively use credit is because if I teach you how to make $1 million, mm-hmm. and you don't look like me specifically, mm-hmm. if I teach you how to make $1 million, what's the likelihood you're going to teach other people that look like you how to make
that same $1 million? It's very slim.
It's going to be a whole bunch of you
yeah.
melanated yeah. folks making $1 million, million yeah. right? So what I've been able to effectively do is teach people and coach people how to leverage and how to gain access to credit, mm-hmm. right? Once you get the credit, how you can pull money off of the credit or take the credit and then buy assets, mm-hmm. right? This came from me learning through trial and error. Mm-hmm. When I gave up my hard cash, and as I told you earlier, I lost to contractors. That was yeah. my cash.
Yeah.
Right? And so I needed to figure out how could I continue to move forward in the real estate space when my money's gone.
Right. And without continuously losing money.
Yes. Those were two major things, yeah. right? Without having to lose money, as well as how I can get access to somebody else's money to move the project forward. Mm-hmm. So the first thing was I end up learning how to do renovations because I couldn't trust anybody at that point. I was traumatized.
Yeah.
It was like, nope, I'm not messing with nobody else. But I would get back to credit, right? I started learning that my personal credit, I had an 800 when I first started. Mm-hmm. But then when I maxed out my card, my score dropped tremendously. Mm-hmm. So I said, listen.
Your impact.
I said, so me using my personal credit, my score goes down. Mm-hmm. There's got to be somebody else, some other kind of way to get some credit where my score doesn't go down.
Right.
So that's when I learned about business credit. When I learned about business credit, I started diving deep into all of these various different Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. And then I started hitting people that looked like they was snipers. They was money snipers on getting these credit cards and these loans. I started hitting them on their DMs like, hey, so how did you,
questions.
Yeah, of course. Now, granted, some people was for free. Mm-hmm. And then some people said, I charge for this.
Yeah.
And so when the people said I charge for this, I said, what can you promise me? Mm-hmm. So most times they can't really promise you anything in terms of results because
that's on you.
It's on you
to
right?
produce the results.
Yeah. And so, but they did say, this is what previous clients have received. Mm-hmm. I've been able to help this client get $50,000 in business credit. And so I said, if you're going to charge me $500 for $50,000, I said, I mean, you do the math. That yeah, math is that definitely math mathing. Is
not, the math is mathing.
That math is definitely mathing.
Yeah.
Right? And so that was the beginning to me learning through this process. That's about like 2017, 2018 about business credit. Mm-hmm. And I literally, when I sold my property, the first property I sold in 2017, I literally paid that credit card, my personal credit card off. My score went right back up. Mm-hmm. So I said, we can manipulate our personal credit and still make a profit. Mm-hmm. So I used credit to fix up my house. I sold the house. I made a profit. I paid off the credit card. My score went back up.
Mm-hmm.
So now at that point when my score go back up, I'm able to apply for business credit because I have been learning about business credit. They say, hey, once you use the business credit, your score doesn't go down. Mm-hmm. My personal score no longer goes down. Right? Because the utilization is on the business side as opposed to the personal side. Mm-hmm. Utilization is about 30 to 35%. I think
you
want to
keep it below that yes. so your credit score will stay higher. Yep.
That's 30% of your FICO score. Mm-hmm. So if that's 30% of your FICO score, and if your utilization is above 10%, mm-hmm. your score starts to drop. Mm-hmm. The higher it goes. Most lenders, or you go to the bank, they tell you, oh, you need to be under 30% utilization.
Yeah.
It's actually wrong.
So they're telling you the wrong thing. So you're yeah. supposed to be under basically a 20 or 10%.
You should be the optimal amount is between 1 to 3% on any wow. yeah in utilization.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay.
But you can definitely be to 10 and under. Mm-hmm. If you're at 10 and under, you're doing pretty good. Okay. In that category. Now, there's multiple categories in terms of your credit profile. Mm-hmm. Most people think it's just a score. My kids got 700 to 800 credit scores, but they don't have a strong profile.
Right. You have to build up that history mm-hmm. so they can look at it. So like when you do apply for business credit, are they looking at your personal credit as well before you apply for the business credit?
Yep.
So they want to see that you're able to manage and everything mm-hmm. before they even give you a line of credit.
Yep.
Okay.
And if you do it right, you'll never have to give the banks any documentation. Mm-hmm. Meaning you can go get, every time you go to a bank, they can give you $50,000, either a line of credit and a credit card, or both. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I need to. So my relationship with credit has been, it was like the credit card trauma taught through us from the family members, and don't do this and don't do that, and this is what you need to do, whatever like that. Yeah. So when I first got my credit card, I didn't know no better. I maxed out. I only probably had like a $1,000 limit from like Wells Fargo back in the day. Went to Vegas. It was gone that same weekend. Gone. And I'm no like, this is free money.
On paying that shit back.
I paid $10 in, $50 in. Like, no. Like, I was totally lost when it came to that. So then my credit score, I'm going to lie, when I first started trying to rebuild my credit score was like, I want to say like 560 in that range. And so I'm like, man, what can I do? And everybody was telling me, secure credit card.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask your opinion on this because I'm like, let me get my secure credit card, which I got through Discover. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the secure credit card, you're putting in automatically like a deposit, a cash deposit to guarantee your line of credit.
Yep.
So that's what I did. I think I put like, I want to say I put like the minimum was like $200. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to put $200 down on it. That's my money. I'm spending my money, paying it back on time, paying it back before the due date. Mm-hmm. And then they gave me another line. I think it increased to like a 500. Then it went to like 1,000. Now I'm at like 5,000. Yeah. So it's like I've been continuously doing it. So now my credit score is at like a 715.
Okay.
Right now. Oh, so nice. I'm like, I'm doing it. I've been doing it, working on it by myself. It's been like 3 years, but I'm slowly getting there. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm learning how to do that through my personal credit so I can transfer over and do a business credit so I could pay for all this stuff for the podcast and the studio and everything on credit.
Yeah.
So that I want my profile to look good. So they give that to me. So what's your opinion on secure credit cards? Is that a good way to start or am
I'm not anti secure credit cards, but I'm pro. I'm not anti, but I'm pro secured savings loans.
So
I'll give you an example. So there's a couple institutions like Andrews Federal Credit Union, Travis Federal Credit Union, Navy Federal Credit Union. These credit unions allow you to get a secured savings loan, which equals your own money, of course, but it's an actual loan that you can take almost all your money off of it, and it still shows up as on your profile. So I'll give you an example. Say I have a secured savings loan for $100, right? It will show $100 is my balance. But then what I do is I get to get my $90 out of that $100 back. Mm. So I get my $90 back, but it's still reporting $100, and I'll have $10 to pay on for the duration of the loan.
Okay.
So then now I got my $90 back. I can go create another secured savings loan. Mm.
With that same $90 that you just took out from there.
Yep.
Okay, so but I'll add another 10 limit to on it. That, like, can you just keep doing that?
So you can actually, within one institution, like Navy Federal, I think they had like, I think you could do three with Navy Federal. Okay. But the cool part about them is they're like an installment loan. So, like, there would be like, most people have car loans or mortgages or student loans. You know, you can do that and have multiple secured savings loans, and you literally take almost all the money back off and leave a small balance. Mm-hmm. Secure credit cards is a little different, right? They got to keep majority of your money, and then you just like be paying on your limit, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to go with secured savings loans and secure credit cards, that would be ideal because you want to have more accounts. You want to have a total of like 10 to 15 accounts mm-hmm. on any given profile. Anybody that's listening, you need to have 10 to 15 accounts. So I've already said you can have 3 secured savings loans.
Right.
Right. You can also do 3 secure credit cards. Mm-hmm. Right. If you're going to go for secure credit cards, you want to make sure that those secure credit cards turn into unsecured. Mm. So make sure that whatever secured cards, they have a conversion of a certain amount of time that'll convert into an unsecured.
You see, I need to check into that. So I'm
Discover's,
like,
I think Discover's good.
Discover's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to check in with Discover real quick.
I think Discover, I think Citi, I think there's quite a few.
Is it like once you hit like a certain credit limit, it converts over?
Into well, you can ask them.
Credit
you can actually ask them.
Okay.
If you've had it for a while, you can actually ask them, hey, can you convert this to an unsecured line of credit?
Okay.
Right? And so we've got secure credit cards. We've got secured savings loans. Then say by chance you got 3 and 3, mm. right? So you've got those 6 accounts reporting. Then you go and you do a thing like rent reporters. Meaning like if you're renting, mm. you literally can get them to backdate your rent on rent reporters or Rental Karma.
Oh, wow.
And that's another account
okay.
that you can add. Then you can go add another account like Credit Strong.
Okay, y'all writing this down?
Y'all right?
writing this down.
So now you got a total of 8 accounts, right? We did okay. 3 and 3, 3 secured savings loans, 3 secured credit cards. You did Credit Strong, and you did Rent Reporters.
Okay.
Or Rental Karma. Then that'd be actually 9, right?
We need the total of 10.
10 to 15.
10 to 15.
So you've got all of these accounts. Now you find somebody that has large credit limits mm-hmm. and old credit cards. Large credit limits
and
old credit cards. You only want 2 of those. Mm-hmm. So if you find 2 people, like a person that has 2 of those kind of cards that have on their profile, you ask them, can you be an authorized user on their account?
Mm. And what does that do?
So if I show you right now, like, right, pull out my wallet, right? So this card, I'm not going to show the back. This card has $60,000 on it.
Wow.
And I've had this card for maybe like a year or 2 years, mm-hmm. right? So if I put Quan on it, she now has $60,000 reported on her credit profile mm-hmm. with 2 years of history.
Mm. Okay.
This card, let me see, not that one. This one has a $30,000 limit, right? $30,000 limit.
Okay.
But it's only a year old. So we want cars that actually, if you're going to do authorized user, you want cars that's got like 10 years.
10 years plus to show that history.
Yep, 10 years plus, but you want it to be more than $5,000.
Okay.
The reason you want it to, because when you actually go to apply for your own unsecured credit cards, mm-hmm. they're going to look at your, like your low limit cards. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you got something reporting for $30,000, $20,000.
Oh, you good.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We're
oh, yeah.
going to get this to you.
That's, it's like what a, it's like a matching type of situation. They're going to try to give you what you already got reporting. So if you got this Sapphire credit card on there for $60,000, I mean, they should be trying to give you like at least 20.
Right. They're going to give you a higher amount, the higher mm-hmm. that they see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I need to.
So that, and then that equals your 10 to 15, mm-hmm. right? So now you've got those amount of accounts. That's one of the criteria in terms of having a strong credit profile. 10 to 15 accounts.
Okay.
No derogatories, no lates, no charge-offs, no collections, no repossessions, no foreclosures, nothing negative.
Keep it clean, basically.
Keep that part clean because that's 35% of your payment history. Mm-hmm. It's 35% of your profile. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
So if you've got some late payments on there and it's been since 2020, meaning like for anybody that's listening, they got 2020 until today mm-hmm. where they've been late, you need to look at the COVID law, COVID Relief Act. Mm. If you've had a couple months where you've been late, you can use that COVID Relief Act and remove those late fees. How you go about doing that is writing a letter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Writing a letter.
Yeah. COVID was here to save us.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can literally reach out to the CEO going through LinkedIn of whatever credit card agency, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Chase, whoever it is, whatever you was late with, or if it was your car dealership, you literally reach out to the CEO and say, hey, look, this has been during COVID. I had a, you know, a rough month. Something happened, whatever the case may be. I was just a few days late. If you look at my history, I mean, this was just one time I was 30 days late. Mm. I need you to be able to remove that, right? And then you see what they do.
Yeah.
Right? So you got a couple different strategies you can take, or you can reach out to me. I mean, I got tons of people that's in the credit repair space that'll fix your credit, right? So you just want to have a clean payment history. Then the next thing is you want to have mixed accounts.
Okay.
Mixed accounts includes revolving, which is credit cards, and installment, which is like any kind of loan.
Okay.
And we said secured savings loans.
Right. So you already got that in your collections for that. So you already got your, what you said, the maximum is three. So you got your three loans, which makes it the mixed.
Yep.
Okay.
You got credit cards because you got the secure credit cards, and then you got the secure savings loans. Yep.
Okay.
But for people that already have like student loans, they went to college or whatever, they got student loans that's reporting, then you're fine. In that category of mixed accounts.
Okay, so you wouldn't necessarily have to go do that.
Secure savings.
Okay, if you have the student loans.
Nope.
Okay.
But if you're trying to get to the 10 to 15 accounts.
Yeah.
Then you need to add some more.
You don't want
to
have that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got that. Then you don't want to have a whole bunch of applications out for new lines of credit.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, to do those accounts, you've got these secured accounts. That's three. Then you've got the secured savings loans. I don't think they necessarily pull your credit for those.
Okay.
Credit Strong, Rent Reporters, they don't pull your credit for those. The authorized users, they don't pull your credit. You just literally ask somebody or pay somebody to be an authorized user on their account. Just piggybacking.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't hit you with an inquiry.
Okay.
So now you are under 10 inquiries, 5 to 10 inquiries, but the ideal is between 0 to 3.
Okay.
But it's just like, if you think about it, everybody, we had a party and I walked up to you. I said, hey, can I borrow $50? The homegirl sits right behind you. I ask her, can I borrow $50?
Mm-hmm.
You overhear me ask. You just gave me $50. Then you hear me overhear me
you
talking.
Like, hold on. Like,
ask her for $50. Then bro over here, he at the bar. Can I get $50 from you?
Mm-hmm.
By the time I done went to dude over there, everybody's looking at me like, bro, like, no, you done got $50 from her.
Right, I want $50
from her. I want my money back. But then, secondary to that, you're not getting no more money from nobody else.
Exactly.
And that's what it's like when you apply for multiple forms of credit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, we just literally, Bank of America just gave you $2,000 or $3,000. Now you're asking Chase. Mm-hmm. Now you're asking, you know, Wells Fargo. Now you're asking Bank of America, and but that's only on the personal side.
Right, but on the business side, it's okay to do that.
It's okay.
It's okay to do.
It's okay. Right? Okay. You can ask for multiple different lines of credit as well as credit cards.
Okay.
On the business side, right?
Yeah, and you don't want that going to your personal side, because you're going to be looking crazy.
Yeah. So, and they call those hard inquiries.
Okay.
So if you can get between 0 to 3 hard inquiries, which is easy to remove. By the way, another little gem, and it's going to be automated. You put inquiry removal in my DM. It'll send you a step on how to remove inquiries in 24 hours.
I love the free gym that's getting dropped right now. You just drop in there a budget. He going to send you a budget and worksheet. You drop inquiry. He going to drop you something for that too. Like, come on now. You can't lose.
Inquiry removal, it'll tell you how to get the inquiries off in 24 hours. Yeah.
DM. Rich_50
_.
Yeah. _. DM him. He gonna get your credit together.
For sure.
He gonna help you get your credit together. So, okay, yeah. So I'm definitely work better at all my credit, because like I said, I'm in the ballpark of the 700s, but I'm like, I'm trying to get to like the 850s and all that. Like, because I want to have a good line of credit so that way I can get more things, you know, I can on credit. But I'm learning now that I need to be able to do that on the business side. Yeah. Because
get to a 720, there's really like anybody that says they got an 800, it's just for bragging rights. I mean, because if you're a 720, you're 9 times out of 10, you could get the same thing a person can get with 800.
Okay.
Meaning a low interest rate, different lines of credit. So for everybody that's listening, I mean, like, it's cool to work on your own credit, right? Mm-hmm. For, and I have to be totally transparent, right? When I first got married, my credit was crappy. I had like probably like a 400 something. I had, just like how you had that starter, it was like a starter credit card. I went and got three of them. Mm-hmm. It was like $500 credit cards. I maxed them out. All three of them. Maxed them out. Then they had no intention of paying them. Mm-hmm. And so every last one of those cards ended up being like $1,000, like over the limit, late fee, you know. And so, and then.
These all on personal credit.
This was back in like 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm. And so, then I had a car that was repoed.
Yeah, that go on there. Yeah. That looks bad. Yeah. So it's like.
People don't know that. Like, this is my first time sharing that. Like, yeah. Because people, they be seeing my little receipts where I be showing them, like, I got an 800 or something. And they be like.
You know what it took to get here.
Yeah,
though.
They be thinking it's, like, I started there. Like, no, your boy had a bad profile. Like, I had these credit cards. I didn't have no intentions on paying them. And I had this car that when I went to the military, I couldn't afford to pay it. So my mom took the car back. It was a repo. Mm-hmm. Brand new Ford Ranger was repoed. Yeah. And so I learned to fix my credit when I was interested in buying real estate. Mm-hmm. There's no way you're going to be able to go buy a house with bad credit.
No way.
Credit affects us in all aspects of our lives. You go get a cell phone. They want to run your credit.
Mm-hmm. As if I could trust you even have you pay off the cell phone. You can't pay off a cell phone?
Yeah.
You're not about to get no property. Yeah. You know, they check all that.
You rent an apartment. Mm-hmm. They want to check your credit.
Yeah.
You want to get life insurance. They want to check your credit.
Mm-hmm.
Life insurance? Yeah. They want to check your credit.
Yeah.
So everybody, like, it's a no-brainer to spend money if you have the money to have somebody fix your credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're gonna either spend your time or your money.
Which one you wanna do? I'd rather spend my money than spend my time.
Me too.
And have somebody else do it while I'm worried about some other stuff that I need to be taken care of. I'll spend my money, get me right. And also, I want to learn the game too. I don't want you to just teach it and be, you know, oh, well, how did you do this? I want to learn how to upkeep that.
Yeah, of course.
So, of course, I'm going to, you know, tap in with you and, you know, go through all the courses, whatever I need to go through. I'm like, but I'm still going to pay you to do this, but I'm going to learn on my own too. I'm going to take these notes.
Yep.
For sure, to keep it going.
But the way I look at it is like, why would we stand in line when they got the fast pass?
Mm.
Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Like, If you got a lot of money, mm-hmm. money can solve problems.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, if you got a money problem, you need to connect with me.
Yeah. Let's get your money so you can get some money so you can get your problem solved.
You need to connect with me.
Yeah.
You need to connect with me.
Of course.
But if you got a lot of money, you can solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
That's easy. Pay somebody to fix your credit.
Mm-hmm.
And once you fix your credit, you get access to so many other opportunities. Mm-hmm. When we talk about scaling a business, being able to buy new additional equipment, right? Different lighting, different like backgrounds, different things like, or to pay for advertising,
mm-hmm.
right? That's going to generate more revenue, more viewers,
more
money,
mm-hmm.
more people buying more products.
Mm-hmm.
But you could use somebody else's money to do that.
That's where I'm trying to be at.
Instead of your own.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the goal.
So I tell everybody all the time, I said, look, when I said I had to learn how to fix my credit because I had a small window.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my wife was thinking about buying a house. I was like, okay, I got to fix this stuff or whatever. You know, and I, you know, writing these letters and sending them off to these people.
Hoping for the best.
Like it was throwing them at a dartboard. Like, yeah. And I'm shooting out all these letters, but. Cold piece is, I could literally cut the line or go to the front of the line by hiring somebody that actually does credit repair.
Mm-hmm. To do it for you.
Of course.
Exactly. Okay. So y'all heard that. If y'all got the money, just do it. If you don't got the money, hit him up so he can get you right.
Yeah.
So we talked about credit. So I want to like, so being an entrepreneur, how do you, and you're in a relationship, you're married.
Yeah.
How do you balance that out. Like, because I know entrepreneurship can be so demanding.
Yeah, you got she on my helmet.
Going everywhere and teaching people this, doing courses and on the live Instagram lives, and it's a lot. And then still try to maintain your relationship and have that romance, have that open communication with each other. Like, how do you balance that out?
So I think what's been beneficial for our relationship is the open lines of communication, talking about struggles, talking about goals, talking about where we see ourselves, actively coming together and saying how we can be help each other get to that, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning like accountability partners, right? Mm-hmm. But what's been most interesting for my marriage specifically is that I introduced my wife to the entrepreneurial lifestyle, and she's starting to embrace it more for herself.
Yeah.
So she owns two businesses as well.
Nice.
Right? And so, but this all started when I took her on a trip to Atlanta, and we sat in a conference. Mm-hmm. And we went to this conference, and we spent, I think it was like, the tickets was like $3,000 each.
Yeah. But to learn that information, though, was priceless.
Yeah, we was front row.
Yeah, yeah.
Front row, like at this conference in Atlanta. And that didn't include our hotel, our rental car, and our plane tickets from, mm-hmm. you know, leaving SAC. But nevertheless, like, she came back and she started a business. Not only did she start a business, but she started a six-figure earning business.
Wow.
And was like bussing heads with this particular business. Mm-hmm. The second business that she created was like where she had to have, like, she's actively employing people. Like, she's paying people.
Yeah.
She's got staff.
Yeah.
Right? Government contracts. I said, well, what made you look into this?
You're like, hold on, what you got going on?
I didn't hear none of these people talk about government contracts, but that was something that she, like, clung to, and it was dope. Mm-hmm. And so
that was her niche. Like, okay, this is something I want to do.
So I think for the most part is when you have a partner, and not that y'all all have to do the same thing or be a part of the same business, but just having open lines of communication. Having an understanding. And the balance piece is you have to do those do not disturbs.
Yeah.
On that iPhone,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever you do for an Android. I don't know.
I don't know. Turn off.
I don't know what they do for Android.
Yeah.
But you have to have date nights. You have to. Be innovative with the things you do, like, meaning, like, you know, taking vacations.
Mm-hmm.
And when you prescribe to, like, following what I'm doing, like, I believe in taking vacations on the dime of the credit card companies.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, getting cash back, flight points, stuff like that, where I get to travel for free.
Mm-hmm.
Not from me frivolously spending on Jordans or something else, but when I do things like manufacture spending, or I give an example. So if I buy something from Walgreens with the Apple credit card, mm-hmm. they give me 3% cash back,
mm-hmm.
right? We normally go to Walgreens and buy whatever we buy from Walgreens, right?
Right.
If I go to the gas station and I use my Chase Cash credit card, when I spend money on gas, they're giving me 5%.
Right, so you earn that money back. You earn that could go towards something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different methods that you can do, but understanding the different types of cards to use in order to get free stuff,
mm-hmm.
right? American Express is known as, you know, for travel, right? They give you all these various different points for when you want to travel, you know. But I would suggest anybody understand, like, that travel is important. Having communication with your significant other is important if you're an entrepreneur. And then making that time to cut stuff off. Mm-hmm. You gotta be
focus. Like, you focus on this, you're trying to balance everything. It's like you juggling.
Yeah.
But you gotta have that moment where it's like, this is just for us. Like, I'm turning off the phone, I'm putting on Do Not Disturb, I got the assistant handling this or whatever. I got so-and-so handling this so we can have our time.
For sure.
Because they want to feel like, okay, well, you're focused on me. Like, I don't want you. Oh, hold on. Hey, you know what I mean? Like, they got to have that personal time. So, and also it could be like including your partner into your business ventures too. So it's not like I'm just so focused on this. Like, no, I want to include you into this because I care enough to, I want you to learn about this stuff too, which like you said, could put her onto something and have her starting all type of businesses that she learned from her man. That's leadership. That is leadership. All that's what I'm talking about, because that's all I want.
I ain't gonna hold you. So what was so crazy is my wife is definitely an introvert. And I don't know if anybody know, I'm the extrovert of our relationship, right? And so what's so crazy is I've been on multiple speaking engagements where we've hosted conferences. I've been in front of thousands of people. When I used to work a 9-to-5, I worked for this company called California Department of Veterans Affairs. Mm-hmm. And when people would come back from the military and like a deployment, like people would be, I would be in San Diego and talking to tons of Army people and Marine people that was like, came back from Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. But anyway, and it'd be a whole bunch of them. But anyway, so I have experience doing this. My wife is totally different to the point to where she's like, I don't really want to talk to a whole bunch of people. Like, I don't, like, I'm going to get right to the point. That'd be it, right?
Yeah.
And so, but I've had her presenting on her government contracts at the last conference we did in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 120 people registered, but it was only 77 people showed up. Mm-hmm. But I've been getting feedback behind her government contracts presentation, and they, like, she was dope. Like, they was like,
I didn't even. I want to learn more. Like, she got a course, she got this, she got that.
Dude,
like,
she don't have no course. But, like, she definitely has trained quite a few different people on how to get government contracts. And, like, it's, she's not animated like me.
She's very straightforward.
Yeah, she's going to get you what you need.
Yeah.
And it's going to be sound. It's going to be succinct. And it's going to be exactly what you need. But she ain't going to give you like.
She's not going to do all that pizzazz. You got that in the bag. She's like.
She ain't going to go stupid doo-doo dumb on the stage. You feel me? She ain't going to be doing that. She ain't going to be doing that. So, yada da me.
Oh, my God. So it's good to just have that communication though and partnership and be able to well balance things out, because it can get tough with running businesses and trying to have date night, especially you got kids and young kids at that. If you have those, it's like it's all a balance, and just I feel like just make time for everything. Yeah. We know you focus on the bag, we know that, but focus on family dynamics as well too.
Yeah.
So
and so one of the things that we did have a conversation about, like I literally told her, I said, honey, give me 3 solid years of going hard in the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm telling her, like, not am I going to just go hard in the paint on the financial level or on the business level. I said, I'm going to still go hard in the paint in the bedroom, too. You feel me? So you ain't gonna lack nothing. You ain't gonna lack nothing in there. Yeah. I'm going to go hard in the paint in there, too.
Right.
But I need these 3 years
to lay the foundation,
to build these entities out, so that it can have an effect that will last beyond our living capacity. Meaning, like when we're gone, it will last beyond that, right?
Yes.
And so, most times we just in relationships, though, literally, we should strive to, like, do as much as we can to please the other person.
Right.
And so if we actively are doing that, we'll understand each other and we'll understand these are the needs that she has. These are the needs he has, right? Mm-hmm. And so within that, there will be some, like, okay.
Maybe a little friction sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, for the most part, if you communicate it, like, it won't be as bad. Like, you literally are explaining how you feel, what you got going on,
and what I need. Yeah, what from you need. Yep. To get this done. Yeah. And can you stick with me through this?
Our moves change. Yeah. Like, you know, like moves change.
Yeah. I just want to point that out. Communication is key for all the men listening. Yeah. All your women want you to do is communicate. Babe, we about to do this. Yeah. I'm about to do this. I got a 3-year plan on this. I'm gonna take care of it. That's all I need. That's all for I sure. need. It's communication. So, let's talk about travel real quick, because I be seeing you traveling.
That's facts.
What's your favorite place that you've traveled to so far and why? I want to know. Because you've been a lot of places. I'm checking out the ground. I'm like, hey, okay, you be traveling. Where have you been that has been your favorite so far?
Before October 3rd, which was my birthday, before that, because we were in Egypt for my birthday. Before that would have been Dubai because it's just so beautiful. It's like it's just a different vibe. Like it doesn't like you. I don't even think that there's crime in Dubai. I real life feel like it's just like a utopia type situation. Yeah. But Egypt was dope by far because it's Africa, right?
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, being able to like. Put an actual your eyes to the stuff you saw in like these books with and pyramids and all of this stuff like that was dope to me like and to be on a you know we got on a hot air balloon on my birthday and got to look over and got to see the pyramids and of Giza and all of this stuff like that was dope and like
it got that feeling inside of you like man like
but what was more important to me was that I was able to bring my mom, my daughter, which had just turned 16, mm-hmm. and my wife and my niece. And my mom wrote me a birthday card. And I don't even have any content about what she wrote in this card, but she told me, I'm not going to cry, by the way.
Don't cry.
Let me check
my
eyes.
It's okay for being to cry.
Let me check it real quick. No, but she said she was a kid that had dreamed of going to Africa. And that dream had died. But she said, I'm so happy that my son made my dream a reality. Oh. And she wrote that in my birthday card. And I was like, wow, I didn't even know. Like, my mom didn't really tell me about that was something she had dreamed that was a dead dream.
Yeah.
Like, low key, like, and she said that I brought that to life was kind of touching, right? So.
She created something you that allowed her to get to her dream that you didn't even know about. So that's inspiration in itself. Yeah. In itself. So that is amazing to be able to take your family.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And travel with them and show them different things that they've never seen before. That's a blessing. That's a blessing to be able to do that.
But that was a free trip though.
That was a free trip all on credit.
Not even on credit. On cash back.
On cash back. On the rewards. On them frequent flyer miles. Yeah. You done did that. So that's amazing too. Like, so I always like to end with a little bit of advice. So for me, I would say that conversation that we had on Instagram Live with Anissa.
Anissa. Yeah.
Okay, so shout out to Anissa. She hopped on my live, and the thing is, I wasn't even gonna go live. I said that so much. I'm like, I'm gonna just play around, or I'm gonna just get on real quick and get off. And no, it was meant for me to get on there to have that conversation. Yeah. And basically, the conversation was about me stepping into my authority. Mm-hmm. And when she brought that up, it was like, it just went off of my head because I've been hearing messages about that, been contemplating that, knowing that I needed to do that. Yeah. I'm just always so chill, laid back. And sometimes I was too chill and laid back that I wasn't really on my grind how I was supposed to be. I was just letting shit flow when I needed it to go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that would be my advice. Like, step into your authority because do what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Whatever you feel right now, I'm in the mode to where I'm listening. Mm. Whatever I hear, God say do, whatever I feel in my gut that I need to do, I'm going to do it.
For sure.
I don't care what it is. Like, I'm going to do it because the reward is going to be greater.
Yep.
So that's what I needed to do. I was like, you know, I'm stepping into my power, stepping into my authority. No, this is how I want this done. This is what I think. I need to step into this role, even humbling myself, even at my 9-to-5 job. I'm like, okay, well, I'm stepping into a role that I didn't really want because I'm so chill, so lax, but it's in order to progress me forward within the company. So, and not saying that I want to stay with it or I'm going to, you know, venture off and do something else, but just me even learning those certain skills is going to prepare me for something greater, whether it be in that company and to be into my podcasting business. I'm learning it for a reason. Mm-hmm. So do it. So listen, humble yourself, not for anybody else, but I'm humbling myself before God, before anything. Like, okay, well, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to do it.
Yep.
And when you have that mentality, that mindset, that spirit of I'm going to listen, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get to where I need to be, you start reaping abundance. Mm-hmm. You start getting opportunities. You start getting blessings. You start getting those ideas, those sparking moment ideas, like to that's going to progress you to go further in mm-hmm. life. So that's the path I'm on right now. Just listen to your intuition. Follow your gut. I don't care if it sounds crazy. Go write down this essay or go write down this. It's pertaining to something in the future that's going to need that from you.
Yeah.
So do it. That's my advice.
For sure.
So what would be your advice to the listeners out there? It could be about anything. Credit. It could be about personal, business, whatever. What piece of sound advice do you have?
So oftentimes... We try to do things on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the ability to leverage. And that's anytime I give a presentation or I'm in front of a group of people, that's kind of my title, leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And most times people just think that the leverage piece goes into like credit and leveraging resources and assets, but leveraging people, we don't have to do things alone. Mm-hmm. So whatever it is that we have in front of us, whether it's pride or a know-it-all spirit or whatever it is, we need to break those barriers down, mm-hmm. get rid of them, and then leverage people and their expertise to get us to where we need to go.
Mm.
We're still going to have to do the work to get there.
Yeah.
But leverage people to get to where we're trying to go. And so when we talked about shortcuts,
mm-hmm.
by paying somebody,
mm-hmm.
that's a form of leverage.
Yeah.
Right. But also partnering with people is another form of leverage. Mm-hmm. We all bring our own set of gifts when we've opened our gifts.
Yeah.
Because you talk about, you know, like, you know, being the authority in this space.
Mm-hmm.
If this is a gift you have, then what would that gift look like if we don't unwrap it?
Exactly. You got to step into that authority.
Right. So we all have gifts. We all have talents. We all have skills. We all have resources. We can go so much further when we collaborate.
Yes.
That's the biggest gem I could, or the biggest advice that I could give anybody is collaboration equals championship.
Collaboration equals championship. Yeah. And that's true because we do have that mindset. Like you said, we tend to have that mindset. I got to do it on my own. I'm going to make it on my own. So when you do make it, you can say, I did it on my own. Yeah. No. It's so much better to collaborate with somebody because they might have those certain set of skills that you need that you're lacking. Now you're stressing yourself out trying to do everything alone when you could have had some assistance to lighten the burden and help you shine in the area that you shine in.
It's real life a shortcut. People you could go to the front of the line with other people.
Yeah.
Like, so I like to say this for just last piece, man, is we don't have to be the face of success.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that knows any team that has won a championship, a Super Bowl, a PGA tour or whatever, I don't know what's the tennis thing situation?
Tournament.
Whatever. anything. Listen, like the guy that was the coach or the trainer of Venus and Serena Williams may not be the one in front of the camera.
Right.
Right? But they're a winner too.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Open.
the person that rode the bench on the Warriors team or the Cavs team or the whatever team you can name, when somebody won a championship, they still got a ring.
Yeah.
They still got a check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They were still a part of a winning team.
But it took the whole team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though you might have a Michael Jordan or LeBron James, the name that's the face of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my podcast. Mm-hmm. But if I'm here I'm supporting a winning product.
Yeah.
I don't have to have my own podcast. Mm-hmm. I could be your guest by 10 more times. Definitely. Because I know you're going somewhere.
Thank you.
You already, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we don't have to be the face of whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Join a winning team. You can ride the bitch.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. Like, people be like they want their name to be on everything, the billboard or whatever the case may be. You can get 25% of a watermelon or 100% of a grape.
Mm. That's that old what you call it, the old analogies. I'm like, okay, which one you want to do? Which one you want to be? It's up to you. Whatever you're comfortable with, you know?
Yep.
So you can be a part of a winning team. You don't always have to be the face of, you know? You got the talent, then you got the brains behind it. You got, everybody plays a different role. Yep. So, absolutely. So tell everybody where they could find you at, you know, Instagram, website, what you got coming up next, any events.
We will definitely be hosting a conference in Stockton.
Oh.
And, I think it's going to be probably at the Coach's Lounge.
Shout out CJ.
Yep.
Shout out CJ. Okay.
But nevertheless, I can be found on Instagram at richb450. B as in boy, 450_. My website, where you can buy some of this amazing merch that says, invest bountifully and you reap bountifully. Right? You can get some of my merchandise off of www.richbefore50.com. That's richb450.com. I'm very active, man. I got quite a few different things that, you know, processes and resources, very active on social media. If you shoot me a DM, I definitely will respond. Book a call. I'll definitely, my calendar will let you book, but of course you got to pay a couple dollars to book that call, but it's fine, man. I'm literally actively involved. I want us all to win.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
I'm rooting for everybody black, by the way.
Rooting for everybody that's black, because this is going to premiere in Black History Month. So I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Support
me,
black business,
I'm rooting for everybody
black owners. Black. Okay, let's support. Support our people, man. For sure. And make sure you like and subscribe to my channel. Like this episode. Share it with somebody, with a fellow entrepreneur, somebody that's trying to get their credit together. Anybody. Mamas, uncles, daddies, aunties. Make sure you share it. Tell a friend. And we'll see you on the next episode of Quantity Radio.
Let's go.
Let's do it. Hey.